You're listening to the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Shelby Bowen. Can demons cause mental health issues and negative thinking? We broke down this hot topic with Alexander Pagani in the Deliverance Ministry. Stay tuned to hear what he has to say about the difference between mental illness, a broken spirit, and demonic oppression.
Read more stories on spirit-led living when you subscribe to Charisma Magazine. Go to mycharismashop.com and enter in the promo code CPN to receive 10% off the price of a subscription.
What's the difference between a broken spirit needing deliverance, mental health? Well, today we have some answers for you. I have a special guest, Alexander Pagani, and he's going to talk about everything from mental health to deliverance to what he feels God is doing in America. You don't want to miss. Stay tuned to the end. We will be praying and seeing what God has to say. So, Alex, thank you for joining us here on Charisma News. We're honored to have you.
I feel sorry for the devil today. I'm going to start off by saying that. No, but thank you so much for having me on. I love deliverance. I love Jesus. And I'm excited about where this interview and this dialogue is going to head. So that way all of your viewers can either reawaken, revisit, or even get reformed in the area of the ministry of deliverance.
Amen. You know, so many people have misconceptions about deliverance, what deliverance is, and I think it almost gets this bad rap. But deliverance is great. It brings freedom. It takes the captives out of bondage from the enemy, and it really helps you step into the freedom that God has in your life. So before we get into the deeper stuff, why don't you talk about what deliverance is and what it's not?
Well, first and foremost, deliverance is not fighting the darkness. It's turning on the light. Deliverance is total dependence on the Holy Spirit to reveal the root of a problem and then giving you the strategy from which you can solve it. Now, whether that's mental, emotional, soulish, spiritual, and demonic. And I think that the body of Christ has had a misunderstanding concerning the ministry of deliverance because it has only been centered around the devil.
Yeah.
But I think the word salvation includes the word deliverance in it, you know, sozo, or rather fullness of healing and being set free. So I think the premise by which deliverance needs to be shared first and foremost, is that it originates with the Holy Spirit and it's continued by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And if and when the devil does peek his ugly head, well, then he's cast out. Now, looking at it from the kingdom perspective, the ministry of deliverance is the military might of the kingdom of God invading the kingdom of darkness and forcibly either tearing it down or removing the strong man that is there, or destroying the works of darkness. So in a nutshell, it's dual. You have the salvation, salvific aspect of it, and then you have the kingdom aspect of it, of the perpetuation of the God invading the kingdom of darkness and dismantling it and setting his people free.
That's really useful. And, you know, as you were talking, I was just thinking about, you and I both know that the enemy wants to give deliverance a bad rap because he doesn't want people delivered. He wants them to be stuck in their bondage and not find the freedom in Jesus. So tell us a little bit about, break this down for us. What is the difference, or where do the lines cross between having a broken spirit, a mental health issue, and needing deliverance?
Okay. First and foremost, the Bible says in Psalm 51, but also in Psalm 2. Psalm 51 first gives us the awareness that the human spirit can be broken. It says a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Now, obviously, the word spirit can be synonymous with mind or emotion. So there's this, you know, there's this interchangeable meaning of those words all throughout the Old Testament. But the word broken, nonetheless, is still there.
Yeah.
If you go to Psalm 2, it goes a little bit deeper, and it actually says David is writing concerning his enemy. And then he says, he uses the parallel of the enemy as a lion. He uses in this reference, the enemy is like a lion biting into me with their accusations. But then he says this, he says, they tear my soul in pieces while there is none yet to deliver. Mm. Hidden in there, the Holy Spirit is letting us know that not only can the spirit be broken, but it can be broken in pieces.
Yeah.
But that makes total sense for the believer, because the idea of salvation is wholeness.
Mm.
The whole idea of salvation is wholeness. W-H-O-L-E-N-E-S-S. Wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
Luke chapter 13 talks about if your eye be single, then your body is full of light. Well, that word single means wholeness or one. Well, James talks about a double-minded man is unstable in all their ways. So it's all over scripture that your soul can either be single, whole, salvation, Holy Spirit living on the inside, or it can be fractured. It can be broken in multiple pieces. Now, those pieces is what I believe is where Legion, Mark chapter 5, actually enter in. You ever ask yourself, or those of you that are watching, where does Legion go when it inhabits a person? You know, like you're talking about 2,000 entities. Let's just say a Roman Legion at the time would be 2,000 soldiers. So when Jesus said, who are you? And he said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Well, where do these many souls go or malevolent entities go when it enters into a soul? Well, yeah. I personally believe it goes into these fractured pieces. And these fractured pieces is what you and I would maybe see as potentially, not that it is, this is still, we're still exploring this, but I think it could be maybe the root cause of maybe multiple personality disorder or maybe schizophrenia or maybe some sort of maybe bipolar or personality disorder. I think that that's where they kind of go. Yeah. And I think the human soul starts going through these levels of torture or emotional imbalance or chemical imbalance. I think that's kind of like where I believe the Holy Spirit might be showing me some stuff that it needs to be explored more.
You know, it's interesting as you're talking about that. I think right now we're living in this era where this obsession with true crime and understanding the mind of a killer. But what all these shows and documentaries are missing is that this is a demonic issue and that these people need deliverance. And so it really seems to be a hot topic right now, understanding the mind behind these people who are doing these things, but they're missing the whole key and the whole point here. One question that I have, and you can help maybe break this down a little bit for me, is how do you know, sometimes when I read or I've heard people say, like, a broken spirit, like almost kind of like God is leading you a season where maybe like things are being broken off, not that he's like breaking you apart in a bad way, but like worldly things or aspects of yourself that just need to be let go so he can rebuild you up stronger. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I think you answered it with what you just said. Anywhere the Holy Spirit will lead you will always end in peace. It will always end in some sort of healing. It'll always end with some sort of intended, beautiful future of where God is leading. And then there's a brokenness that comes either as the result of sin or generational curses, or a malevolent entity is there that is actually causing the breaking, but the end doesn't lead to peace. An example of this is King Saul. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord had departed. It had literally just had departed from King Saul, and he was tormented by a spirit. If there is any other example that we can find in scripture of a man who was at times given over under the influence of a demon, and then under the influence of maybe some sort of mental illness that was going on, it was in the life of King Saul. So you find, the difference would be is that when it's a malevolent entity, its goal is always to destroy you.
Mm.
Leading a person to, let's just say, committing the act of suicide or whatever. Its ultimate end is destruction. When it's emotional, it just leads to this this place of perpetual depression and emotional instability, but no one's killing themselves as the direct result of that. There's just this anguish. It leads to an anguish moment, but not destruction. So I think when there's an entity that's there, ultimately that entity's goal is to cause the person to go off the deep end and just end everything. When it's an emotional situation, the person just ends in a place of perpetual anguish, mm-hmm. and they're just there, just deeply discouraged. David went through it. Why are you cast down, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. Mm. He wasn't talking to a demon. He was talking to his soul. Yeah. Put your hope in God. Not only that, the Bible also says when the his men had lost their wives and their children, they talked about stoning him when the Philistines had took over Ziklag. The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So when it's emotional, you can actually maybe break away from that with self-affirmation. Mm-hmm. You know, come on, snap out of that. You know what? God got you. But when it's a demon that's there, you could do all the self-affirmation that you want. That thought will be persistent because the thought is not coming from you. It's coming from an entity that's there. So you can sit there and try to encourage yourself. You know, come on, snap out of this. You got this. God got this. And you still feel horrible. That thing is still there. That's how you know when it's a demon and it's not just emotional, because emotions can be resolved by regulating those emotions, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So you find yourself feeling a lot better after changing the way you speak and changing the way you eat. But when it's a demon that's there, you could change the way you eat, you could change everything, that thought would be persistent. So that's what I tell people. If the thought is persistent after you crucifying the flesh, taking control of your thoughts, putting yourself out of toxic environments, and it's still there, then you're not dealing with an emotional thing, you're dealing with a demonic thing.
What should people do if they find themselves in that situation? Can they self-deliver, or what do you recommend?
Well, obviously, self-deliverance, you know, I'm a deliverance minister, so I'm not too much of a fan of self-deliverance.
Yeah.
Too much. And I'm gonna tell you why, because James chapter 5 says, confess your faults to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Amen. Let me give you an example of why I believe that at times self-deliverance is allowed by God, and in other times he's requiring you to go to tell someone. Because if you got a spirit of pride that's on you and God is really trying to break that off of you, how can you break it unless you go and humble yourself and tell someone that you're being prideful? Yeah. You see what I'm saying? So there are certain things you can be delivered from through self-deliverance. Like if I'm having a negative day and it's like this perpetual negative thought, so I find myself that God reveals to me, oh man, there's a demon of negativity that's really there. Then I can renounce that and I could break that off of me by repentance and renouncing and verbally telling the devil, spirit of negativity, I bind you, release me now in Jesus' name. I choose to think on the things of the Lord. And then you quote scripture, the things that we're mandated to do, the demon will leave, right? But when you're dealing with some of the more deeper potential strongholds, you might need to go to someone, a deliverance ministry, and say, hey, can I sign up for a one-on-one session? So I think it's both. So in the meantime, and those of you that are watching, if your church doesn't do deliverance and there's no present deliverance ministry within your area, then I would say, then go through some self-deliverance. Buy yourself a good book. Shameless plug here, a book called The Secrets to Deliverance by Alexander Pagani. All right, might be a good book. Authored and released by Charisma House. Amen. Go get that book and read it. There are prayers in there that you can pray and get yourself free. But if and when God allows you to encounter a deliverance ministry or a deliverance event or a deliverance minister, then I think you would probably be mandated or encouraged by God to get close to said ministry and go through some personal deliverance through a deliverance session.
That's really, really helpful, because I think, I mean, even for me, I've wondered, is this something that I could walk through by myself, or do I need somebody else's help right now? So that really is just makes it super clear, and I think will encourage a lot of people. And again, for everyone who's watching, the Secrets of Deliverance right here to Deliverance that you can get at mycharismashop.com. And this is so important. People need to know this information, and not only for their own life, but for everyone that's around them, because not only do you need deliverance maybe for what you're going through, but there's people all over who do, and you can help them. So kind of on that topic, like you said, you're a deliverance minister. This is obviously something that God's using you in. Where was this birthed out of?
Me, you know, embracing the deliverance ministry for me is a unique story, because I used to preach against it as a pastor. You know, I've been serving in the pastorate for 19 years. Amazing church, New York City, there in the Bronx. And around 2004, I preached against it. Not sure why, but around that time, you know, the internet and social media and cell phones. You know, when I first started pastoring, we didn't have cell phones. There was no such thing as internet, you know. So I've been privileged to be able to watch the changing of modern civilization into the digital era. With that came an influx and a flood of pornography that hit our church. Mm-hmm. Many of the men in our church had got bound by pornography. As a pastor, I had a brief moment where I got caught up in that, because now porn was coming to your phone. This was, you know, in the early days of the internet. So my journey in embracing deliverance started out with me looking for deliverance for myself. Wow. I needed to get free, but my theology couldn't embrace that a Christian can have a demon. But when you're desperate, your theology becomes a little bit more flexible when you're desperate. That's why I love desperation, because it kind of causes your rigidity to kind of bend a little bit. So I began to search for a deliverance minister. And at that time, there was nobody doing deliverance. Wow. Or it was preached against. Wow. So I ended up encountering an apostolic fivefold ministry where the minister operated more as an apostle. And within that circuit, deliverance was the norm. So I just wanted freedom for myself. I said, I'm a pastor, I need to get free. And I got free. I got really free. So I made a vow to take our leadership through deliverance. I just said, you know what? I'm going to take our leadership through deliverance. And that was it. I wasn't planning on embracing being the deliverance guy. Sure. I just wanted our people to get free. And then it spread throughout the church. And all I said was, we're going to help all our people get set free. And I remember telling our members, don't tell nobody, you know, that we do deliverance here. We just, let's just be us, because this deliverance thing is ostracized everywhere. Yeah. My leaders didn't listen to me, because when a person gets set free, like in scripture, when Jesus would tell the blind man, don't tell nobody, he'd go and tell everybody, right? So our leadership started telling their friends, and then their friends started telling their friends, and people started showing up to our church saying, hey, pastor, I heard you do deliverance. And I was like, who told you that? Well, one of your members told me. And then I was like, okay, come inside. Word began to spread that we were the only church at that time in the Bronx publicly doing deliverance. Wow. So pastors and leaders were showing up to our midweek Bible studies, bringing their leadership, saying, hey, can you help us? We just need prayer to get set free. We're about to go on a mission field, and we want to make sure we ain't got no demons. And it just kind of spread. Then the internet, our church decided to embrace the internet at a very early age, you know, a stage of its development with, you know, online. And we went headfirst into that. So we just started promoting our church services and deliverance videos. From there, we are now living in the digital era, and now it's spread like wildfire. And then we became the go-to deliverance ministry on social media for many years, up until the pandemic. And in the pandemic, God began to raise up digital evangelists, and they embraced it. And now it's an unstoppable force to be reckoned with, that the body of Christ is either get on this wave of deliverance or get hit with the tsunami. Like, that's just where it's at.
It is so clear. I mean, when you go on social media, you see there really is this move of people doing deliverance on social media. But before we get into that, you said something that I just want to take a minute to honor and just really like give a moment to. And it was, as a pastor, being able to be vulnerable and confess what you were going through, which I feel so many people who aren't even pastors, they might just be church attendants or just be Christians, feel this internal struggle of, like, if they say that they have issues with certain things,
right,
that it's going to ruin their life. No one's right. going to care what they have to say. But right. it's that vulnerability that I think drives people to you, because they're like, this is a real person. This isn't right. a robot. This right. is someone who's struggled. They found freedom. Right. And I just want to take a minute and honor that. Because
yeah, you know, last week, about 2 weeks ago, I was with my bishop, and we were at our, you know, one of our conferences there. And I was one of the guest speakers, you know, and my bishop had, before he introduced me, he had the session before, and he was talking about confessing our faults to one another. Yeah. So I noticed that a lot of the ministers that were there, they didn't really like, they opened up, but they weren't really opening up. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I grabbed the mic, I began to become transparent about my struggles as an itinerant, influential figure globally, yeah. that, yeah, I go through pressure to perform, you know, stage fright. I just begin to just share all of that. And out of nowhere, one by one, pastors started coming up, sharing their struggles. And I even gave them the mic, and they just started publicly admitting drinking alcohol, struggling with pornography, like a sovereign move of freedom. Ooh, hit yeah. hit the moment, hit the church, that prophets were being honest that they're drinking and just mm-hmm. getting set free. And this was because the Holy Spirit told me this about maybe 6 years ago. He told me, if you would be more transparent, you just might help save a generation. Wow. And that's what the Holy Spirit told me. So I think online, I think we started becoming a little bit more honest as we teach and preach. If there's anything that anybody could say about Pagani is, man, that brother is real. Like, he is raw, he is honest, but it's not like venting and letting out my dirty laundry. It's more like, come on, let's if we're gonna get free, let's get free for real. And it can only be done by being 100%, at least what I call limited transparency. Just be pastors, be a little bit more honest. And I want to encourage every pastor and leader, if you're watching, you feel like, there's no way around it. The step for your freedom is only the direct result of confession. Mm-hmm. Now, I get it. The church is not a safe place. I get it. To be transparent, I totally understand it. You're always going to put yourself at risk when you become transparent. But here's what I'm going to offer to you guys. In the description, after this this interview is done, my email will be placed there. Mm. Feel free to write to me. I don't got my hand in the game in anything with you. It's just you being able to tell me your story and say, yeah, I'm dealing with this. I have nobody to talk to. I promise you, I won't use it against you or anything. Just allow us to be an outlet for a moment to at least begin the process of your deliverance, especially those of you in the clergy. I've heard it all. Trust me, I've heard it all. I'll carry it with me to prayer. Just write to me. Don't drown, pastor, and don't die without getting, meaning ministerially die because you have nowhere to get free from. Just write to me and say, man of God, I'm dealing with X, Y, and Z, and I'll pray with you. And then after that, I promise you, I'll delete that email and your secret will stay between you and me and the Holy Spirit. But listen, don't drown. God has allowed you to watch this broadcast. There is an outlet for you to get set free, and your ministry will survive and get to the next level once you get delivered and set free. Write to me.
Wow. Can't tell, but I got goosebumps. I really feel like this is the Holy Spirit really wanting to speak to somebody about that. It reminded me of Joel 2, where God talks about having the outward expression of repentance, not just an inward expression, but an outward, like like physically tearing your garments, like you're like repentant. And so, you know, that requires an action. So that was very powerful. Thank you for doing that. And again, we'll put the email below so that you can reach out and do that. So now I want to talk about, before I get to my last question, I have one more question about deliverance. Can everyone do deliverance? Is there guidelines? What should people know?
Yes. Everyone has been mandated by Mark chapter 16, the end portion of Mark 16, where preach the gospel and these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, the first one that's there is they shall cast out devils. You don't need a special you don't need to be from a special pedigree. You don't have to have special permission. You don't have to be finish Bible school and do all of those things to cast out a demon. Let me tell you something about demons. They don't care about the plaques on your wall. You know, they can care less. All they care about is does Jesus know you? And how much light are you filled with? Because they are creatures and entities of darkness. And the Bible says the darkness comprehends not the light, right? So depending on how much light you have, which means spending time in God's presence, will depend on the effectivity of the deliverance session, which means they're looking to, first of all, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? If you're known by Christ, you're good. If your name is written in that Lamb's Book of Life, then you're good. At least you're registered. Second is, spending time with Christ. You don't need special permission to do that. Now, I would say this. If you're feeling like God is calling you to specialize your ministry in teaching and preaching and training people in the ministry of deliverance, that's different. That will require a different set of requirements, a different set of rules to be able to make that happen. Why? Because when it comes to that level of ministry, you have to be sent and not went. So you have to be submitted under accountability, under a leadership. You have to have been receiving some sort of training. You have to have been part of the deliverance ministry for quite some time and serve under someone who's doing deliverance ministry that you could go to know the ins and outs. Like, obviously we know that Paul had a Timothy, Elijah had an Elisha. That's different. So if you're feeling like you're called specifically like myself to the ministry of deliverance, then I would say put the brakes first. Talk to your pastor, talk to your leader, talk to your person that holds you accountable, spend time with God, get around deliverance ministries such as ours and Isaiah Saldivar and Vlad Savchuk and Mike Signorelli and the Daniel Adams and all of us that are kind of doing it. Get enrolled in some of our mentoring and deliverance training. I have a school of deliverance that's out there. I also have a school of the prophets. Those of you feel called to the prophetic ministry, that's different. But as far as the devil acting up in your day-to-day life and in the life of your family, you don't need permission for that. The devil comes around your territory, roll up your sleeves, cast it out, use the name of Jesus, and watch. Watch, the devil is going to flee. So for the average, everyday Christian, as far as your family within your jurisdiction, you don't need permission. You just need to be a believer. But when it comes to specializing, teaching, and training others, or that you feel that your ministry might primarily focus on deliverance, then that's a different set of rules. And I would say find and get connected with someone who could hold you accountable and get trained and mentored in it.
Now, can people find that information, the schools that you were talking about, on your website?
Yes. If you go to www.alexanderpagani.com, you'll find the School of the Prophets. That's what we're promoting, at least right now. And then also, well, you could just go online, you know, follow us in all of our social media handles that will be in the description of this video. Primarily, our online ministry deals with deliverance, even though I serve as an apostle over Amazing Church Global. So you're going to find other things pertaining to pouring into pastors and leaders. You know, that's my passion. I'm a church planter at heart. You know, we've birthed, we're overseeing 9 churches. We're about to birth 2 more churches, you know, so everything is not about deliverance on our social media platforms, but primarily you'll find a lot of information on deliverance on all of our social media platforms. So yeah, I'd say just go look us up and get trained and activated, or reach out to me by email. We're in the process of maybe potentially initiating a real detailed online mentoring in deliverance program for those who feel like they just need a little bit more specific training in that. So just get part of our email listing and then you'll be notified when that initiative gets initiated.
Wow. Well, this has been incredible. Thank you for sharing everything that you have gleaned from the Lord and all of your time in ministry. Before we finish, I just wanted to give you a minute to kind of share your prophetic sense on what you feel like God is saying in this next season. And also if you would just pray for everyone.
Amen. Well, here's what I believe the Holy Spirit has impressed upon my heart as to for the year of 2023. And it will be a time and the rise of the Jehus. The rise of the wild ones who will be sanctioned by God to be able to confront systems that have been oppressing God's people. And they're not going to have that religious, you know, piety and policy-minded like most of us have, that we're always thinking about the rules and the regulations. Now, I'm not talking about a revolutionary, but I am talking about the rise of a reformer. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not called the Protestant Revolution. It's called the Protestant Reformation. Why? Because a revolutionary wants to destroy the system and implement a new system. A reformer wants to upgrade the system, and it can only be done when God raises up someone who has a very militant, no-nonsense, I don't care about the rules and regulations of none of that. All I know is we're here to obey God. Yeah. And these group of individuals are not going to be restrained by religion. They're not going to be boggled down by church tenets and dogma of various denominational, mainline denominations. And I'm not talking about insurrection. I'm not talking about people usurping pastoral and ecclesiastical authority. No, I'm not talking about that, because that's unauthorized. But I am talking about someone who would be fearless, whose personalities, you're going to see the rise of people immensely anointed, but whose personalities are not refined, like Jehu. Jehu, there's a difference between Elijah and then a Jehu. As much as Elijah was bold, he was afraid of Jezebel. He just finished confronting 850 false prophets and had them all killed afterwards, right? And then one message from Jezebel and he takes off running. Why? Because in that prophetic group, there's this submission to particular rules and regulations. She's the queen mother, and he had to run. Jehu doesn't care about none of that stuff, could care less. You're gonna see a wave of digital Jehus who will be able to confront systems of religion, systems of sin, systems of Jezebelic systems, and they're going to actually be the ones to actually tear it down. But at the same time, be anointed by God for that task. It's not going to replace the prophetic movement. Remember, Elijah and Elisha were alive during the time of Jehu. Elisha was alive during the time. You don't see God being against Elisha. But Elisha and Elijah played too much into the politics of the church. In 2023, you're going to see a wave of deliverance, or just a wave of ministers who are not going to play those politics anymore. And no one is going to be able to write them off saying, don't listen to that ministry, they're rebellious. People are still going to listen to them. Even churches where their pastors are against those ministries, their own leadership are still going to listen to these ministers. Why? Because there is a hunger. There is a desire in churches. Even churches that don't do revival and might have lost their cutting edge in their spirit or anything prophetic, you're going to find that even in those camps, there's a group of people that are desiring that. And they're going to, and the only way that's going to change is going to require there to be a Jehu. So I prophetically believe that there's going to be a wave of raw personality, but anointed to confront systems and shake things up, and no one is going to be able to stop them. And social media will be the means by way by which this is done. And then you're going to find these mainline, and you can mark my words in this one. This one I believe strongly is you're going to find what I call anomalies in events, which means you're going to have these mainline events that normally invite their normal, the same preachers that they normally invite. And then you're going to find that one invited speaker in that event that doesn't fit the rest. These particular movements and churches are going to do their normal yearly events. And then they're going to have that one guest. So there's going to be like two or three of the same people coming that they always invite yearly to preach at the church. And then they're going to be this one guy or this one gal. And they're going to be like, why did you invite this person? And they're going to be like, the Holy Spirit told me to invite this person. But they don't preach and they don't talk about our stream of the way that we do things. And these particular men and women of God that are putting these events together are going to say, I know this, but the Holy Spirit is telling me, invite this one. And it's because these particular individuals are going to come and they're going to be the catalyst that's going to be needed to be able to take that church and those events and those that are in attendance to that next level. And they're going to have that Jehu anointing. So it'll be the year of the Jehus. That's what I genuinely believe, but not bad Jehus, good Jehus.
Ooh, man, I know a lot of people I've been talking to and they are really hungry for that, ready to see that old torn down and really that new arise, people who are unashamed to preach the truth and obey what God has to say, because
and really bring change.
And really
bring the change, not talking about the change, because sometimes the church is caught up with that we're in the change because we're talking about change. No,
right.
Talking about change is not change.
Yeah.
Actually making the change is change. And I have found that you have to be built a particular way to be able to bring that type of change, because it's going to require every ounce of your being to be able to facilitate that change when there is a whole culture or a whole church that is anti or maybe not understand that change. It's going to require a Jehu to say, you know what? I'm done with Jezebel. You guys keep tolerating her. I'm here to take her out. And we're going to see that next year, but it's going to be different. It's not going to be done in rebellion. It's going to be done actually sanctioned by God. So if you're watching me and you feel that this is you. As a matter of fact, some of you that are watching me now have been, your spirit has been stirred for two reasons. One, you're a Jehu. God has really been speaking to you in the area of your dreams. Your spirit has been stirred, or you've been, as you watch videos online and get connected to and been exposed to various ministries, your spirit is also saying, I'm part of that group. Let me take a few moments to pray for you. So Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I'm so grateful, Lord, for the Jehus that are watching right now, Lord, and those that are hungry and their hunger has turned to groaning. They are now groaning for a shift and a change, Lord, and a turning of the page to the next thing that you're going to do. Father, I'm praying like that this moment of prayer would serve as a confirmation to them. Father, stir their spirit up and release them, Lord. Release them, Lord. Father, I open the gate. I open the gate of that flame, Lord. Father, convert them from an oven to a blazing inferno, Lord. For too long, Lord, religion has, Lord, put a door to their flame like a oven, Lord. Father, we break them out of the oven of religion, Lord, and we release them to a forest fire, Lord. Lord, let their fire ablaze, Lord. Set them ablaze, Lord, right now. I humbly ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord. And Father, may that Jehu that's listening heed the call to confess confront that which is hindering the body of Christ. Lord, whether it's in person through itinerant ministry, whether it's in their local church by sparking the change in their church, or whether it's through digital means, Lord, let them obey and heed the call, the clarion call from heaven, Lord. Spark them up, Lord, and transition them from revival to reformation, Lord. Let the reformer arise, Lord, and let them embrace that call like a Nazarite. Lord, let them embrace the Nazarite vow to be the catalyst of reformation, Lord, in this present day and age. And may they be judges amongst the evangelical churches, Lord, like the Samsons of their day, Lord, like the, Lord, the Gideons of their day, Lord, like the Deborahs of their day, who were judges in Israel, Lord. Let this generation that's watching be judges for your people, Lord, in 2023, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Sorry, I got caught up there. I got inspired.
You get caught up anytime, because that's great.
I was about to go down that path, you know, but I held myself back a little bit.
Hey, you never have to hold yourself back here. We're all about it. We want people to have it all. This has been amazing. Again, for everyone watching, The Secrets to Deliverance. Get it. It's an amazing book, mycharismashop.com, and alexanderpagani.com. They can go over there. They can get everything that they need, right, on all of your ministry tools, deliverance training, all of that. So
yes.
I know this is super useful for people and walking into that next step, and excited to see what 2023 has to hold for
yes.
the churches and the body of Christ.
I want to encourage them also, follow all of our social media handles, and they're going to be in the pinned in the comment section, description below. I want to see you on our YouTube. I want to see you on our Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram.
Yeah, I know I follow, and I'm always just amazed at everything that you're putting out. So thank you for what you're doing for God and for glorifying His kingdom. We're excited to hear about it and share it. And for everyone watching, I just pray that you are blessed in Jesus' name. Thank you for listening to Charisma News. To read more articles and stories like this one, visit charismanews.com. Receive stories on spirit-led living when you subscribe to Charisma Magazine at mycharismamag.com. Type in promo code CPN to receive a 10% discount off your subscription.